Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Welcome to episode 174 of the Highly Relevant Podcast, a show about how Latino pop culture is reshaping mainstream entertainment. On this week's episode, I talk to Simon Mejia, the founder and the band leader of the Grammy-winning Colombian group, Bomba Estéreo. We discuss his latest solo film and music project, El Duende, inspired in the Afro-indigenous music of Colombia's jungles, as well as what he thinks of Colombia's newly elected president, Gustavo Petro, and how the Bad Bunny collaboration of Ojitos Lindos came to be without them ever meeting. But before I talk to Simon Mejia, it's time I give you my weekly recap of the top Latinx pop culture headlines in a segment I like to call Jacked In. Let's begin with the top movie, TV, music news of the week. Leslie Grace's Batgirl and Eva Longoria's Gordita Chronicles canceled at HBO Max. FX's Mayans MC will return for season 5. Frida the Musical is headed to Broadway. Shakira could face 8 years in prison and a $23 million fine in a Spanish tax evasion case. Diego Luna and Gabriel Garcia Bernal to reunite in a Spanish language Hulu limited series called La Máquina. Pedro Pascal to star in HBO limited series My Dentist's Murder Trial. Rick Gonzalez has joined the cast of NBC's Law & Order Organized Crime for season 3. A Max Headroom reboot is in the works at AMC Networks. Alfonso Cuarón teams up for the Amazon film Jane, examining family life of sci-fi writer Philip K. Dick. Creator Claudia Forestieri inks an overall deal with Sony Pictures Television. Cheech Marin and Oscar Nunez joined the cast of the golf film The Long Game. And Spanish director Jaume Collet Serra will direct Carry On, starring Taron Egerton. And in tech and social media news, Twitter is testing a co-tweeting feature. TikTok is developing a music streaming app to compete with Spotify. The NFL has launched their own NFL Plus streaming app. Apple has released a new iOS 15.6 update for iPhone. Facebook will let creators make money on videos with licensed music. Snapchat will now let you snap and chat from your desktop. And Instagram launches survey to study race and improve user experience. I had a chance to interview Simon Mejia before this interview back in 2017 in August when Bomba Estéreo was on tour in New York for their album Amanecer, and it was one of the most interesting, insightful, and deep conversations I've had with a musician about the state of music, about the state of politics and culture in Latin America and Colombia in particular, and how the music industry in the United States really differs from what Bomba Estéreo has been trying to do. He's also a huge activist for climate change. Almost everything he does in his life and in his career is really about the ecosystem. Since that interview, Simon and Bomba Estéreo have been nominated for another 2 Latin Grammys and a Grammy and a few collaborations, including Ojitos Lindos with Bad Bunny, which at the moment of this recording has streamed over 400 million times, and that's just on Spotify. I catch Simon in his house in Colombia as he prepares to come to New York City for a mini press tour of El Duende. Simon, take me through why you created your solo persona of Monte and what are you musically exploring with your new work in El Duende?
Monte is a project that I have a few years ago. It's a personal project and it has to do with researching and doing lots of sound field recordings, like nature recordings here in Colombia. Mm-hmm. And in other places of the Caribbean, but especially here in Colombia, in jungles and everything, recording the sounds of nature and making music, electronic music with that. And it started as a remix album, as a remix, because Lucas Silva is a very close friend of mine. He's a music producer and filmmaker as well. And he has been recording Afro music from Colombia many years ago. He has this very interesting label called Palenque Records.
Pues sí, mi papá aquí vivía tocando todo el tiempo. Construía una marimba y esa marimba era para él repasarla, tocarla y para ver cómo le había quedado.
And he had this amazing album from La Dinastía Torres, that is a musician from the Colombian Pacific Coast that played the marimba music, no? And he released this album that is called Los Duendes de la Marimba. It's a folk music from the Pacific Coast of Colombia. And he sent it to me and he asked me to do some remixes. So I started remixing the music for that album. And while I was remixing the thing, I was thinking, should be cool to tell the story of these guys and the story behind the marimba in Colombia. That is this myth that marimba players go to the jungle and they wait and wait there. And then this magical being that is El Duende, the elf, that is a mix between an elf and a devil, comes to them and teaches them how to play properly the marimba and how to build the marimba in the middle of the jungle. It's this myth. And I wanted to tell that story in the remixes, in the music. So I started using voices of them talking about that stuff and everything. And then I asked Lucas, we should make this a movie because, you know, people speaking, you want to see those people. And he started sending me images he had from a previous film he did in the Pacific that was with the same guys and everything. And we started to do kind of a remix and film mix kind of stuff.
Experimental. Interesting.
And editing the music and then putting images, like kind of a video clip stuff. And then another friend of mine that is also a movie director that I work a lot with, that is called Simon Hernandez, entered the process and he said, we need some narrative here to some, you know, so it became a short film. It was kind of a collage, but it all started with the remixes and then it became a short film and the release is the short film and the EP of the remixes of the songs. But behind all is the story of this myth, El Duende myth, that is really, really beautiful. And it happens in places like Colombia that are unique, and you still see stories like this that are jungle stories that seem to like centuries ago, but they happen today.
It reminds me a lot of Ciro Guerra's exploration of Colombian culture. You know, he did that movie, El Abrazo de la Serpiente, Pájaros de Verano, and you can tell in a movie like this that you're doing the similarities. You know, and I'm wondering, what is it about Colombian filmmakers, musicians, and just creative alike that are very into their culture's content? It seems like you guys are trying to preserve the culture of Colombia through art.
Yeah, totally. And it's been happening for many years, but now that Colombia is in the mainstream eyes, you know, because Colombia's music, the mainstream music of Colombia is all over the world. So eyes today around the world are on Colombia. But this process has been happening for many years, and I think it has to do, on the one hand, for preserving those kind of manifestations that you see that maybe eventually they will disappear with a modernization of the country or whatever happens. Maybe they disappear. And they are so unique, so you want to like put them into film or into books or into music, no, like preserve them. That on the one hand, and on the other, that's Colombia. So when you go out of cities here in Colombia, and you travel to the places and you meet those kind of communities, and you go to the jungles or to the La Guajira desert or to the Amazon jungle, and you boom, you clash onto those realities. You kind of feel, wow, this is another country that is not the mainstream country, and is amazing and really unique. It makes us unique from the rest of the world. And that music that comes from those places is the music that has inspired mainstream acts like Bomba Estéreo, for example, because the inspiration we got is from cumbia music. And we mix it with electronica, and it became a mainstream act that is Bomba Estéreo, you know. And in the same in the filmmaking and the same in the writing, you read to Gabriel García Márquez books that are really mainstream books, and he's just describing what he saw in his small town in the coast of Colombia. That's the reality of Colombia. And it's surreal, no? It's so beautiful that it's surreal, and you want just to express it through the arts. And I think that is what makes us Colombia what it is, no? That kind of situation, that kind of music, and that kind of characters. And for me, it's just poetry. It's really beautiful.
It is beautiful. Simon, why isn't this a Bomba Estéreo project album? Why?
I'm trying to like develop this new line of Bomba Estéreo that is Bomba Estéreo Presents, no? That is Bomba Estéreo Presents, these other kind of universes that are linked to the band, but are not essential to the, you know, to the Bomba Estéreo music and everything that has its own style. And people listen to Bomba Estéreo and they know what they will get, no?
What's the thinking behind that?
The parallel projects is like kind of what I'm trying to achieve with Bomba Estéreo Presents is what inspired Bomba Estéreo, what is the universe behind all the music that Bomba Estéreo brings out, and how versatile can we be of doing, you know, a track with Bad Bunny and at the same time do a documentary about guys in the Pacific that nobody knows.
I know. You're like a musical galaxy of different universes, right?
I think Colombia is that, you know. Colombia is a galaxy of musical. Colombia is not only J Balvin and Shakira and
Juanes. Yeah, right.
Juanes and Carlos Vives and Bomba Estéreo. Behind that, there's a galaxy of sounds and of characters and musicians and musics and landscapes and everything, so biodiverse that is pretty, pretty unique. And the people that come to Colombia connect with that and they see the power in that. And I like to be like a promoter of that galaxy as well. Yeah.
But you're really also being at the same time an advocate of climate change. And I wanted to kind of segue into that question of why are the jungles of Colombia a recurring theme in your music and life? What in your life led you to be so enamored with that aspect of Colombia?
Well, yeah, I think first of all, having kids, because when you have kids, something happens in your mind and you stop thinking about yourself and your ego and you start thinking about them. And thinking about them is thinking about others as well. It's like, and thinking about kids, what is the planet we're living for our kids? No, because we are going to die. And me, I'm older today. I'm closer to death, but they will stay in this planet. And what kind of planet are we living to them? And Colombia, many Colombians are not so aware of this, but Colombia is key and essential to climate balance. Why? Because we have jungles and we have páramos, that is the moorlands. And páramos and jungles are key and essential to climate balance. So we, Colombia, if we interiorizamos esto, like we get this into our conscience and ourselves, to see Colombia as a world leader in environmental issues, no, in environmental conservation, that's the richness of Colombia. The richness of Colombia is not in technology, because we don't have a Silicon Valley here, and we are not big technology makers, neither industrial revolutionaries, you know. We are cultural leaders because culture in Colombia is really strong, music, filmmaking, literature, etc. And nature, no? The water that we have in Colombia, nobody else has it in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And the jungles that we share, one with Brazil and Peru, and the Amazon jungle and the Pacific rainforest are unique in the world. And the process they do towards the balance of the carbon and the balance of the rain and the water cycles is essential to the world. So when politicians here in Colombia become aware of that treasure that we have here, maybe the country will develop into una potencia del sí. medio ambiente. We are hoping that Gustavo Petro is the first one in this process, no? We'll see what happens. But I think that Colombia should be aware of this situation and be proud of that situation as well.
Absolutely. You were just talking about Gustavo Petro, the new president of Colombia. He's no longer spending money on exploring more oil in Colombia, which would make it by far the largest fossil fuel producer to ban new production, I think probably in the entire world. And this stops the economic dependence on oil and coal from Colombia and exporting it. It's a ballsy move by a president that makes most of its money in Colombia, which is, I think, 40% poverty in the country. So to do that is very, very ballsy. How have you felt about this new incoming president? As a Colombian, there's been a lot of controversy with the two presidents, Los Uberistas, Los Petristas. How do you feel politically about your country at this moment? Is the future bright or not?
I think there is hope, and when there is hope in the air, the future is bright, and you kind of sense it. Maybe the big economic powers are really scared, and I don't think he will just ban oil production at the day he becomes president.
Mitigar el cambio climático implica para Colombia dejar de exportar carbón y petróleo. Esto significa un cambio del modelo de desarrollo de Colombia.
It's a process, and Colombia is still very dependent on the oils and whatever. It has to be a process towards getting to that point when you don't depend on oil. And it's not only Colombia, the whole world has to do it, but it's going to be a process. But I think there's hope, and there's hope in the minorities here in Colombia, which are the people that voted for him, you know, all the periphery, the people that live in those territories like the Pacific Coast, or the Amazon jungle, or all the periphery of the country, voted for him, and those minorities that haven't been heard throughout history, now they feel they have a voice in the government.
Right.
And that for me is a beautiful thing, you know, for the poor people, for the indigenous and Afro communities, for the campesinos that live in the territories and have been abandoned by the state for centuries. Now they feel they have a voice, and they have hope. And when there's hope in the air, you see a bright future. I don't know what's going to happen. Politics in general suck for me.
Yeah, me too.
All over the world, they suck.
All
in
over
America,
the world,
in Russia,
suck.
In Colombia, all over
yeah,
the world, politics suck. So for me, the power is the people. The people are the power, and the people are the ones that can bring change forward. Not politicians, but we'll see what happens. We can talk again in 4 years.
Before I let you go, Simon, I wanted to chat about Bad Bunny becoming the biggest global pop star of this year, of this generation, of this decade. And you had a chance to collaborate him on his brand new album, Un Verano Sin Ti, and you guys had collaborated on a song called Ojitos Lindos. Tell me about meeting Bad Bunny. I know you've worked with Will Smith before, which is a whole other conversation, but how did you meet Bad Bunny? Why did it make sense for Bomba Estéreo and Bad Bunny to get together? And where did you find the musical connection to make that happen?
Well, first of all, we haven't met him yet.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Will Smith, we met him. Actually, we did a video with him and everything in a LA set And I felt like if I was in a Hollywood movie. I turned around and I had Will Smith by my side. And I was, you know, but there's a beautiful story behind this Will Smith and Bad Bunny and in general, the featuring that we've done that are not so much. And it's always been very organic and it always has been them looking for us. Will Smith called the label and told the label, I want to sing on this track with Bomba Estéreo. We didn't look out for him. And the label was like, wow. And they called us and I was like, this is a joke. Is this a joke? You know, and we did it. It was very organic because we are not of the kind of making featuring just for crecer, you know, like just for marketing reasons that I think featurings today are only because of marketing reasons, you know, to get to more markets and be bigger, make your music bigger and everything. And in our case, it has been really organic and we got huge featurings as him and Bad Bunny. And the Bad Bunny story was that when we released Amanecer, we did a remix album of the whole Amanecer. And one of the remixes, Tom I Love, was produced by Tiny. Tiny is the producer of Bad Bunny, and music over one of the producers. And he did this remix, which was really successful. And then time passed, and Tiny wrote through Instagram directly to Liliana, which is Bomba Estéreo singer. Hey, Bad Bunny is making this album and he wants to do something similar to what we did in Tom I Love. Are you into or whatever? And she was, yeah, for sure. So she went and recorded the lyrics. It was all by distance. She recorded the lyrics and then he did his lyrics and everything. And that was how it happened. You know, it was really organic. No label behind, no marketing, no PR, no managers. Just artist to artist. Hace mucho tiempo le hago caso al corazón. Y pasan los días, los meses pensando en dolor. Obviously, it's better to meet in person, not only to make music, to whatever, you know, to do an interview or whatever. It's always more lovely to meet in person and be in the same room and you know, chat with a person, not with a screen.
Right.
But technology is good, and for music, it actually unites. Technology, it separates, kind of strange because it separates us, but at the same time, it unites us, no? It's crazy. And I think while we have still the live experiences and the festivals, and you go and see live music and interact with real people and everything, you kind of can keep the balance of doing things by distance and by screen and on the digital platforms and social media that are always you on the screen, but balance that with the real life, going right. And meeting people, seeing live bands, having dinner with your friends without the fucking telephone or all the dinner, no? Just interact and do both, no?
Right.
It's not just negar una y hacer la otra. No, you can do both, but in a balance.
Simón Mejía, thank you so much for being on the Highly Relevant podcast. Your new solo project is called El Duende, and it's out now. And just before I wrap up here, here are three Latin tracks you might want to add to your playlist this weekend. Hasta morir danzar. Un beso, Venus contra Venus. La Isla de Lesbos, Javier Amena. Más allá del bien y el mal, lo tienes que probar. Todo empezó como un hobby. Una pequeña charla en el lobby. Nos fuimos queriendo y entendiendo mal. La situación ya nos pedía algo más. Tú me dijiste pa' dónde vas. El lobby. Micro TDH, Pablo Alborán. Y cuenta que esas miradas no eran en vano y aún no me olvido.
mala vibra. Gati Video.
And that's it for episode 174 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. I'd like to thank Simone Mejia for joining me on the show. And if you like this episode, please share with your friends and have them subscribe and leave a review. Your help is valuable in helping us reach many more listeners. If you would like to get in touch with me, reach out to me on Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. I'm Jack Rico. See you next week on another episode of Highly Relevant.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.